Hello, and welcome to the Dress in Splendor podcast. Luke 12:27 states, "Look at how the wildflowers grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these." Our mission here is to share stories from men and women that can help you learn how to stop laboring or striving after what you want to accomplish, but rather to trust in your heavenly creator to guide you in your everyday life. If he has a plan for you, he will make a way. All he wants is our daily yes to him and for us to stop worrying about what tomorrow will bring. If we can do that, then we, as children made in his image, can be dressed in even grander splendor than the beautiful wildflowers of the field. I'm your host, Lydia Summer, and I'm so glad you're here today. This week on the show, we have floral designer extraordinaire Michaela Mantarian. Serving the Chicagoland area, Michaela has a passion to create beautiful floral arrangements for weddings and events. But she didn't always have the desire to start a floral design company. Michaela went to school to pursue Christian ministry, did a side business of wedding planning, and then the Lord opened up the door to have a blooming, pun intended, floral arrangement business. Her testimony is definitely helpful for anyone else out there who has been on a different and winding journey than they originally anticipated when planning out their lives. We hope you find encouragement with her story today. Welcome to the Dress in Splendor podcast. Let's get started. Okay, so First of all, I do want to share congratulations because I did see Hannah's post that you had a baby shower recently and that you're pregnant. So that's really exciting.
No, we're over the moon. We're so excited.
So do you know the gender? Have you shared with people?
It's a girl. Yeah. The picture Hannah shared was from our kind of like shower / gender reveal with our people. So
that's so sweet.
Yeah, we're so excited. We were praying for a girl.
Oh, good.
We feel like we are girl parents. We just feel equipped to be girl parents. So that was kind of a desire of our hearts. And it was just really, really neat. So
yeah, I was going to ask, you know, if this is something that you wanted to have or, you know, because a lot of people I feel like have different kind of expectations. Did you feel like you knew you were going to have a girl or were you just like really, really hoping?
We were just really hoping and like, this is my first pregnancy, so I had nothing to like, go off of, you know, like they're all the wives' tales and stuff, like how accurate is that? It was a prayer for us for sure. And honestly, I kind of started to feel settled. Like the day that we found out the gender, I was starting to be like, okay, Lord, like if it is a boy, like I trust that, you know, like what we need as parents and that you're going to give us, you know, what you have planned for us. And like, I had just started to feel like settled in that.
Yeah.
And then we found out it was a girl. So it just was a really sweet moment with the Lord too, where it's like, I really do feel like he heard us, you know, and he either gave us those desires or heard those desires. Cause it just felt very personal that like it was a girl. So yeah.
That's beautiful. And she's going to grow up in what I believe is a good, godly Christian home and seeing you as an inspiration for her to be whoever it is that God called her to be. So that's incredible.
Yeah.
Them. So I know that you've got that crowd around you as well. I mean, if Hannah's one of them, then that's amazing. She's already going to be super loved. but I did want to kind of go into a little bit of your testimony first, if you don't mind sharing. I'd love to know more about you since this is our first time connecting.
Yeah. So I'm really blessed that I was raised in a Christian home, and it's really beautiful making the transition now, watching my parents step into grandparenthood because I'm hearing the prayers that they would have prayed for me as a kid, but now granddaughter, which is so special. And we asked my dad to say a blessing at our baby shower, and just one of the things that he was sharing with us and so passionate about was just this idea of, you know, as parents and as grandparents, we want to instill this faith. We want to create this environment where, you know, we know and we love Jesus. And at the end of the day, it's everyone's individual decision. And so just praying that, you know, as we hand over our faith, that that's something that one day this little girl will take and know for her own. And so that's kind of become my prayer, to be a godly mother, is to do everything I can that when she leaves the house, that she would know there's a God who loves her, but that ultimately she makes that decision for herself to follow him and to create her own relationship with him. And so that's how I was raised, which is really special and getting to hear that now. So was raised, in that environment, learned, was, modeled, my parents modeled a relationship with Jesus and a godly marriage and all of those things. And when I was in high school, I really started to inquire of the Lord, what do you have for me? What will I do for you and for your kingdom? And so actually at that point really felt a very strong call to ministry and started looking for universities that would train women, because it's not all. And so I started looking at universities and kind of at that point it was, you more so are picking, or if you're studying like pastoral ministry or youth ministry, like those are kind of the two options. And so I picked youth ministry and started at Olivet Nazarene University, where we've made such great connections, and did the 4-year track there. Graduated with a degree in Christian education, actually. And then kept asking, okay, Lord, like, what's for me? And it actually felt like the next door was graduate school. And I know it was the Lord, because I never would have picked graduate school. I was really fatigued of just the educational world, but felt strongly to keep going in my education. It was a great opportunity. So I actually continued on and got my master's degree in Christian education, excuse me, Christian ministry. And so all of that was like the educational background. But along the way, when I was a college student, I really had just a really impactful few summers. One summer where we kind of went through some really, really low valleys, and I felt that for myself, that I kind of picked my faith, that I decided that for me, that my relationship with Jesus was personal and wasn't just something I was handed, but something that I wanted to pursue and was picking that for myself. And just some really cool serving opportunities along that way. So, long story short, fast forward, I get a job in full-time ministry. Absolutely loved it. I worked at our local church for 5 years and it was a joy. I loved it. But I was also building this small little business on the side. I had started doing some wedding planning. I really loved events. I loved kind of the wedding industry and was dipping my toe in the water of that. And so I just started to inquire, what it would look like to continue in the wedding industry. And I built this little flower business on the side doing wedding flowers, and it continued to grow and continued to grow and to continue to grow. And we got to about 2021, and I was working full time at the church, and I was working a full time entrepreneur journey as well. And it was just, I got to the point where I was like, okay, Lord, I can't keep doing both. So where will you have me? And I questioned that for a few months, sought mentorship in that, and continued to prayerfully, ask those questions of what's next for me? Do I continue in this ministry job that I loved, that I trained for educationally, or do I, go off and do this flower thing? And really felt the Lord's hand on entrepreneurship and continuing my flower journey. So I made a hard but exciting transition away from my job in ministry to pursue being a full-time small business owner.
That's
And did
awesome.
that in 2021. And now I have continued to grow that. We have a team under us. I do wedding flowers mostly, sometimes some events. And we do that pretty much May through October. And then we transition to more admin work in the off season, like air quotes, because there's always something going on, but have just kind of continued to do that. Now I train other florists all over the world with online courses and mentorships, and have just had the honor of serving Chicago couples getting married on their wedding days, which It feels like a unique ministry all on its own. It's just a different type. So that's a little bit about me, kind of my background and the course the Lord has taken me, kind of just one step at a time over the last, 30 years.
That is super incredible. I'm always in awe of like how God creates stories and where God leads them to do, because I think a lot of times people expect, at least I did when I was younger, like I also pursued education, but it was music education. And then I graduated and I never used my degree. Well, I say I never did, but I use it in, I guess, worship kind of sense, just not in the way that I thought I would. And as I continued on and living my life and saying yes where God led me, just I think he highlighted more of what of how exactly he created me to be and how to use it. And not to say that it was a waste for me to get my degree. And for you, the same thing with you and your graduate degree and you serving in ministry is beautiful. And I mean, that's just part of God's story for you. But I think it also allowed you to be able to build your business slowly and then grow it. Because I don't know what your background is, but I'd love to know, like, do you have any kind of entrepreneurs in your family, or did you have to like learn from the get-go, like how to become an entrepreneur, a businesswoman leading a team?
Oh, such a good question. I feel like I've always had a little bit of an entrepreneurial spirit, but I wasn't formally trained in that. Like, I don't have a business degree in that. And so my parents are business people, but the formal training isn't there. So when people ask me, like, oh, how'd you get your start in flowers? It's like, well, like I kind of started in wedding planning because I loved the industry, but then I was really missing some of the design pieces, and so decided to kind of transition to flowers. And really, I just turned to a YouTube search bar. I mean, like any good millennial, right? I figured the internet had things to teach me, and so I started turning to YouTube. I would go to the grocery store and pick out little bundles of flowers and practice on them. And then I'd take them to gatherings and I'd give them out for free. And I just kind of wanted the association of people to start thinking about me with flowers, mentally to start clicking. And I kind of like acted as my own PR specialist on Instagram. And like anything I would do with flowers, I'd take a picture of it and like, post about it and just. The ball kind of kept rolling from there, but no formal like training. I didn't go to flower school. I didn't go to business school. It's all just kind of been, one step at a time. And then as the business has gotten bigger and, we've been able to support me going to different workshops and things like that, investing in my own mentorships of florists that I really look up to. I've been able to invest in their education pieces or their workshops and have kind of taken on some training. From other florists that I really look up to and am inspired by. But that's all kind of happened more so organically, just as things have continued to grow and we've been able to invest in those educational pieces. Me, but the formal, training, I don't have like the business degree or anything like that. But it's also been really neat. My husband, Joe, is also an entrepreneur. He's a
Oh,
photographer and
great.
a videographer. So we've kind of been able to do this entrepreneurial journey, together and have learned together, which has been, really, really neat. And so there are definitely growing pains when it comes to growing your business, and we've been able to kind of tackle those as a team, which is really unique and special in of itself too.
Yeah, I feel like that's a great partnership. I mean, videography, photography works really well with the wedding industry. So I'm sure it's great to also have that resource and being like, can you just take my photos and videos for me? So that's like ideal. So that's perfect. I'm just curious because I don't know much about this the flower industry in itself. Do you partner with like local florists and grab flowers from them? I know that there are some people who grow their own flowers. Like what's that like?
Totally. It depends on the season because we're in Illinois, so the Midwest definitely has hibernation. And I actually, just as a human and as a child of God, really appreciate those off-season moments too. Of I get together with other wedding vendors and we can just like candidly say like, we really love December and January where things are just a little bit slower and we can kind of catch our breath a little bit or work on some admin tasks, and we're not like in the busy, go, go, go of the wedding season. But then we also all really love the hype of the wedding season and when it's here. So I just really love the flow of that. But all that to say, there really is a seasonality to what we do being here, in terms of sourcing. So we're able to get flowers all year long. I work with Chicago wholesalers, to get most of our products, but then we do also work with local growers, to find out what's happening here seasonally, and have great relationships with some local farmers, which is super fun because I always feel like local product is just a little extra special. It's
Oh,
just kind
yeah.
of the cherry on top of designs oftentimes. And then also trying to kind of grow some of my own flowers. I'm by no means up proclaiming that I'm a flower farmer. I'm not. It's own thing, and I love what flower farmers do, and I'm not one. But when we are able to grow even just some, cut flowers in our own garden, that's so special and grounding. And so, yeah, kind of a combo of both, working with the big wholesalers when you need, large orders or specialty things that don't really grow here locally. But then also having a great network of other, small business owners who are growing flowers, in their farm or their backyard. So it's a little bit of both.
Did you ever expect this business to be and grow the way that it has, or was it all like a surprise to you?
Oh my gosh, no, the biggest surprise. And some steps have been strategic along the way. A couple of years ago, I started getting really specific about what would it look like to have some evergreen products for us, things like courses, downloads, things that I can get in the off season that would help, support financially when we're not doing weddings. And also now stepping into a season of parenthood and wanting to maybe take my foot off the gas pedal just a little bit in terms of large scale weddings, having, things like mentoring or other things that I can do online. So there were some strategic steps early on to, build an email list and to get freebies out into the world and to create digital products and some of that. But for the most part, no, it has really taken me by surprise. I'm just a girl who started out with a YouTube search bar and a grocery store flowers and really just kind of continued to build this great network of other vendors and frienders, what I call friend vendors,
Oh, I love that.
and people who have just been excited to work together. And we've been able to build portfolio pieces together and recommend one another, and it has just kind of continued to grow. And then we've kind of continued to grow our team as the projects have gotten bigger. We've needed more hands, and so the Lord has just always kind of provided the right people at the right time to help us grow our team, so that we're able to execute, even larger projects and things like that. So there definitely was some strategy involved. But for the most part, has really been this beautiful surprise too, and kind of a gift from the Lord.
Welcome to another Lids Pick, where I share a product in which I am not sponsored, but I love it and I want to share my picks with you. So we're in the middle of winter, and the worst thing I experience, especially as a barista, are dry, scaly, and peeling skin. I constantly wash my hands as a barista, and during the winter months, it can be really tough on my skin. I'd pile lotion time and time again, but I always felt like no matter what I used, the lotion would just come straight off the next time I went to wash my hands. Thankfully, I found something that has changed the game for my skincare routine: Gubba Homestead. I specifically buy tallow balms from them, and I have seen immediate results in using this balm for my hands and face. Having used this balm all winter, I can safely say that my hands have never looked nor felt this good during the winter months when I rub a little dollop of this balm on my hands in the morning and evening. Unlike normal moisturizers, where they immediately wash off, the beef tallow from the balm soaks into the skin and nourishes and hydrates it to keep it healthy. I also use it on my face, and outside of a few pimples here and there, I truly believe it has helped keep my skin clear. I'm a huge fan of Gubba Homestead's tallow balm, and there are different options of essential oils you can choose from that are added to it to give a more beautiful and healthy aroma to your skincare routine. So run, do not walk, to their website now and buy some for your poor, cracked hands today. Go to gubbahomestead.com, that's Gubba Homestead.com today. Now, let's get back to the show.
Thank you.
Wow. Yeah, that's really encouraging to hear. I mean, even as someone who's doing my own business of venturing into this and trying to grow and also just trusting in the Lord with his timing, because I mean, everyone's journey is so completely different. And I know that I have to remind myself of like, just because I'm not where I would like to be doesn't mean that God is doing anything less with mine that he is with another. And so there, it's just
Absolutely.
really cool to hear how God has like used you and grown you. And you said that you like teach courses for people all around the world. That is so cool. Is it all online?
Yeah,
Oh,
so
that's
we have a
cool.
couple of courses that are online that I put thought and again some strategy into over the past few years, and we launched a couple of those over the last few years, and then now have been launching evergreen resources, digital downloads, things like templates and email guides and just tools for florists who maybe are really great at designing, but feel like they could use a hand up in terms of the business of flowers and doing flowers. Hopefully some tools to help them just take that next step, or make life a little bit easier during the busy wedding season or in the off season. So pieces kind of like that.
And that's, I think it's also beautiful that you are doing that kind of coaching for other people, because I think that there is a fear sometimes when someone enters into kind of a niche, business where it's just not as well known. I'm sure there's like thousands upon thousands of those businesses around, but like you just don't hear many people who have a thriving florist business. And so I know that there's kind of a fear sometimes of wanting to enter into that space and being like, well, I'm not going to get any business because they're going to have it. But it's like sharing that business. It doesn't, I think celebrating one another for exactly the group that God has placed you, because he does need vessels everywhere. Like he needs people, and we can't be, competing with one another. And I feel like actually when we celebrate one another, it's easier to see more growth happen in that way. It's like, oh, you're celebrating her. Well, okay, well, I'm gonna go and support them, but also still you. It's like, I don't know, I think it's cool.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And it is a little bit different because I don't run a flower shop. And so I think when people hear that I'm a florist, the quick assumption is that I own a flower shop. But we've actually done everything out of our home, which has been really, really neat. And it's kind of a different model. The flower shop, they're going to take care of your everyday needs. They're going to handle all the things that kind of happen, in town, the things like, your proms and your funerals and your weddings and all of that kind of stuff. And we more so are niched down into just weddings and events. And that's been really, really cool because, yeah, not everyone does that model. But then also, as artists and as florists, like, I truly believe that no one can create a design the way that you can create a design. So, and I see that as a strategy and as a beautiful thing too, because it's like you can kind of tap into your own unique design style. And I definitely pray over arrangements before I start them and just the Lord to come through and to show up in this creation in a unique way. And so that's really great because now no longer are, florists competing, against one another. You all just kind of have your own unique style that you can offer the world and show up as yourself and with your own unique designs. And that will be for some clients, it won't be for others. And that's such a beautiful thing. So there's definitely some of those pieces too. I think most of the floral community is definitely community over competition. You don't always get that, being just truthful. But there are a lot of really wonderful floral designers out there that are, just celebrating and cheering one another on and getting this art that they create and being like, oh my goodness, I never would have thought of that, or I wouldn't have paired that. And it's just, it's really cool. It's a great
Oh
community.
gosh. Yeah, that is really cool. And as you were speaking about like how everyone is unique in how they design flowers, it kind of just reminded me a little bit of what I shared with you before we started this conversation about how God has created us each uniquely. And it's, even with his own creation, that no two snowflakes are alike. It's like you no matter how hard you try, even if I were to take a course from you or something and you were to teach me how to make a floral arrangement, I would never be able to replicate it quite the same. Just like in the painting with a twist or like painting nights where you're with your friends, they all look so different. All look beautiful, sometimes not, but it's like it's just the journey of being able to express that creativity and how God has uniquely made you to be. So I think that's awesome that you have that and that re you recognize that. I hope that more people recognize it. I hope that people who are listening recognize that too. And I feel like a lot of people are afraid to even want to enter into this world because they are afraid of like, and they're asking themselves, well, what do I have to bring to this? So I guess I would love to ask that question to you of like, or any advice that you would give to someone who wants to join that but has that kind of fear.
I mean, I truly believe it. Like, no one can create what you can create the way that you can create it. So you might as well give it a shot and see if it speaks to someone in a way that maybe my design just wouldn't, and that's okay. And so you might be able to show up and to serve a unique circle that no one else quite is able to do in the way that you can do it, which I think is really unique. So, for someone considering hopping into an entrepreneur journey or kind of, maybe trying to start a little bit of a side hustle, it's definitely worth the shot to see what kind of gladness can come from trying something new, what kind of joy could, be out there for you in trying something. And I'm a firm believer in kind of getting the boat close enough to the dock to make the jump into entrepreneurship. And so the reality is that's a journey that just takes a little bit of time and showing up. And one of our favorite phrases around here is, throwing spaghetti at the wall and seeing what sticks. And that might take a couple of tries too, just to see what you're putting out there, what people are responding to and resonating with, and coming alongside of you and getting excited with you. And but there definitely is, there's deep joy to be found in some of that too. And so I think, we were just created so uniquely, and our creations therefore are unique. And so it's worth it for the world to see what you have.
Yeah, I think that's wonderful advice. And I think the same thing is what I would say is just go after it. And as you say, just see what sticks. So but I also think that come with anything, there comes challenges. I do want to ask how 2020 was like for you. I mean, you weren't at that point a full-time businesswoman, but you, I'm sure, had maybe some thoughts of like, should I even have this business running still, or had different challenges ever since you went full-time and things like that. So, how did you tackle those challenges and kind of trust God in that process?
Yeah, man, 2020 was such a year for the wedding industry because we got to about March before people realized that they weren't going to be able to host their joyful gathering. And so at that time, I was still working for the church, so was really lucky in that regard, blessed in that regard that we had stable income coming in through the full-time job, because quickly it just dominoed and people started postponing their weddings. So I think I had almost 20 weddings that were canned up for that year that did not happen in that year. And as an entrepreneur, that's really scary. But again, felt just really blessed to have the steady income of my job in ministry at that point. And those celebrations pushed off into 2021, and worked strategically with couples to make sure that we were able to find a date that worked for them and their venue, most of their vendors. And there was some stickiness with figuring all of that out, but for the most part, it actually transitioned really smoothly, kind of from 1 year just to the next, and everything kind of fell in line. But 2021 was a unique year. That was the year I kind of got to my point with the Lord where I was busting out all these weddings while also working, full time for our church. And it just got to the point where it was like, I love both these things so much, but
Yeah.
I am suffering here. And I know I'm not doing as great of a job in either role because I'm trying to do two full-time jobs. And so, like I shared earlier, decided to make that transition. But it came with unique challenges through the pandemic, and the wedding industry as a whole came with unique challenges. Flowers came with unique challenges. So many farms around the globe just shut down production, and trying to get that like back up and running into 2021 was so hard. Products were unavailable. Cost was so much higher than what we were used to. So what we had quoted really wasn't a fair quote anymore. It just came with all of these little nitty-gritty things that it's like no one can prepare for that. And so we kind of just took it in stride and transitioned into 2021, and we're able to celebrate so many wonderful couples that year. But yeah, definitely a unique time to be alive and to try and run a business for sure.
I'm also curious to know if the Lord has kind of, 'cause as someone who's worked in different companies, I've worked a lot of times with founders, and the Lord has kind of shown me in this, and honestly, there was nothing really truly bad about the founders themselves. There was just something that I kind of learned about, which was founder syndrome. And the examples of what I saw, I wanted to make note in making sure that I always stayed humble, that I always made sure that I knew that I was, if I was not capable of doing something well, that I would ask for help instead of believing that I can do everything myself. So I'm curious if you ever came across that, or if you just have recognized, like, I know what I know and I know what I don't know. And so I'm going to pass this off to someone who knows it better than I do.
Yeah, that comes with just being a small business owner and an entrepreneur. I feel like so much like we hear like fake it till you make it, and sometimes that is kind of the hat that we have to put on to figure out something. But that's honestly part of why I love what I do, because the installs are always different. The day is always a little bit different, mechanics are different, and so there's so much that we quote unquote don't know, but we have this like foundation of like, but we know how to do installs and we know how to do mechanics and all of these things. You kind of can go back to your basics and take those principles and put them on new environments or new days, or try it with a new flower, and it just keeps things like really interesting, which I actually really do love. So yeah, I think there are pieces of that, and then pieces of like running the business. There are definitely things that I love about being a business owner, and definitely things that I'm like, this is not my jam, and hire out those freelancers or SEO experts or copywriters or whoever it might be to bring onto your team temporarily, so that you can serve to the best of your capacity in that regard. And so definitely try and be aware of like what I love and what I feel great at, and what I'm like, you know what, this is something I feel like I actually would rather invest in someone who's really great at that and bring them onto my team for something like copywriting or website design or fill in the blank. So I definitely feel that. And then even just on a personal level, like with my team, as we do continue to book bigger events, you need more hands to create those and to execute those. And so that's one thing I feel like I've really honed in on over the last couple of years, is just not being shy about putting the extra person on for the day, bringing the extra set of hands, hiring one more person for the day or the project. It just really never regret it. I always feel better. I'd rather have eight people on the day setting up, and we get done, 30 minutes early, and we're able to take a little bit of a coffee break, and to be two people short and feel like we're running around and so stressed trying to take care of all the things. It just feels better to be in community with people on a day of, knowing that, many hands does make light work. And so it's just a more enjoyable, I think, scenario for everyone. So I know that was a whole bunch of answers to one question, but those are some ways that I feel like we've just incorporated people who really help lighten the load for us, and where it makes sense, in ways that it's not squashing my joy, but really
Yeah.
an ability for me to invest in others in those ways.
Yeah, I think if that mentality that you just said of investing in others, I think helps with the potential of having that founder syndrome mindset. And I think that I'm just kind of more passionate about making sure that I always want to, I think that you and I are similar in that way, to where with my team members, I absolutely love them. I cannot believe that they're a part of my team. It's just so great. But making sure that I can give them the tools that they need to thrive in their with their work, and also knowing, like, even if we're not like a forever home for you, that I can help you pursue whatever it is that God has called you to do. And just knowing that, like, this, I'm just a part of the journey, and I'm just a vessel of God's to be able to be used to inspire, hopefully, other people. I can totally see that in you. You're such a joyful spirit. Like, you have not had your smile off of your face, which I think is just so beautiful and really encouraging to my heart. But I'm very thankful for this conversation. I think a lot of people will also sense that joy coming from you. And there's just, like, one last question that I ask all of my listeners. Listeners, as I told you before that Justin Splendor is based off of Luke 12:27, and in light of that verse, consider how the wildflowers grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you, not even Solomon was dressed like one of these. And in light of that verse, and in our conversation, what is some advice that you would give to those who are listening, who want to pursue a similar path, and help inspire them to maybe just chase after what God has called them to do, and not worry about what God has planned for them.
Yeah, because we all get paralysis, right? Like when a big idea hits us, it's like exciting and we want to play with it in our minds, but taking an actual step forward can be really, really scary. And then the worry starts to build. And in our minds, we spin these huge tales and then we maybe end up not doing anything. And I think then the world is missing out on what you had to offer and actually a really unique idea that might be from the Lord, because we got so caught up in the fear of taking that first little step. And so, specifically, I tell people if they're wanting to get started with flowers, which might not be everyone's journey, I totally get that. If flowers are maybe something you want to try, out a little bit, to pick up that bouquet for yourself the next time you're at a farmer's market, like shop local with a local farmer, pick up a bouquet and just, hop on YouTube, pick up a couple tips, try and make something for yourself, and then maybe give it away. Or reach out to your local flower shops, your local florists, and just ask to be a fly on the wall. Maybe not even ask for a job right away. Just, ask if you can kind of come and just watch and learn and help and clean their buckets. No one's gonna say no to wanting to help them clean buckets. But just kind of take some of those steps to really be a lifelong learner in some of those first steps, and do it for yourself and do it for people around you, your community. They're there for a reason. And so if the Lord's giving you an idea or a creative passion, bless the people around you with that. Bless your families with that. And then again, things do kind of stick like spaghetti on the wall. And if you're feeling that, then prayerfully consider what that next step might be for you. But definitely don't hide, your light, or your creative passions, especially if there's a way that you can be a blessing to your families or to your local communities, your friends, the people around you. Because those are gifts from the Lord and you see them stewarded.
Well, thanks for that advice. I know I'm gonna follow you if I'm not already
So
after
funny.
this. But if people want to find you and maybe get inspired by your work and your business, where can they find you?
I'm an Instagram girly, so I'm on Instagram at Michaela Mantarian. I also am on TikTok, same handle at Michaela Mantarian, or my website, michaelamantarian.com. That's got all of our information about our wedding services, our flower cart services, and then also all those resources I mentioned for local or for florists all over who are looking for, mentoring or digital downloads and stuff like that.
Awesome. Well, I'm going to put it in the show notes.
Okay.
Michaela, thank you so much for joining the show, for talking with me about your testimony and your journey. It has been so encouraging to listen to you today.
Thanks so much for having me. Truly such an honor. I hope I can add just a little bit of value or a little bit of joy to the listener's day.
I think you definitely have. And thank you, listeners, for tuning in. We'll catch you next time. I don't know about you, but I absolutely loved getting to know Michaela and her story today. As she mentioned, we are all uniquely created by God, and even if we pursue similar paths to one another, only you can put your own style into it. We hope that this conversation blessed you, and if you think that this could be an encouragement to someone you know, please share. We hope to continue conversations with more believers in how to trust the Lord to provide and make way their paths in which He has called them. Make sure to rate and review wherever you listen to podcasts and follow us on Instagram at Dressed in Splendor to know when our next episode drops. And if you want to give me a follow where you can find encouraging and the occasional silly content, you can find me on Instagram at Lids Summer. That's LYDS Summer. The music of the Dressed in Splendor podcast was produced by Jael Arekasi. Find him on Instagram at Sound of Pastel Kid for more of his work. That's Sound of Pastel, PASTEL Kid. Lastly, thank you, dear listeners, for tuning in. May you be blessed as you continue on in your day, and may God be glorified through your work.